right, welcome back, everyone, to the Flat Earth Podcast. I'm Curious Jay, alongside me, Dave from Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. It's been a while. We had a crazy holiday and conference month, but we're back, right, Dave?
We are back. I was concerned that maybe you got MK Ultra'd, and we'll be testing that out this episode to see if you still are, Jay.
Yeah, no, my handlers allowed me to do another episode. So
excellent.
Yeah, we both ran into, we had the holiday week, which was like a week or so after the conference week. And so it's just been a crazy month. We apologize for not being on, but hey, it's a free podcast, right?
Yeah. Everybody gets a full refund.
That's right. We'll refund everyone for the month of November.
Correct.
How's that? So yeah, a lot going on. Coming up later on in this show, we're going to have Robbie Davison joining us to talk and recap the entire Flat Earth Conference. We'll talk about everything that went great with the conference, things that are coming up in the next year's planned conference in Denver, and so much more. So we'll have that in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to touch on some of the media that is really finally picking up on this thing. We're seeing another media blitz, Dave, on Flat Earth.
There's tons of media. New York Post today. We have Mad Mike going crazy and everywhere. The Associated Press. A lot of controversy there, but people are questioning Flat Earth. A lot of people in my personal life that have never said anything are sending me, clips that, stuff in the news about Flat Earth. And a couple of them are asking questions. They've got the bug.
Yeah. It's funny. In the last 24 hours, we're recording this right now on November 30th. And just in the last 24 hours, there's a ton of mainstream media that are doing articles. Right now when I type in Flat Earth on Google and select the news, you get things like Newsweek, Science Alert, AOL, The Economist, who did something a couple days ago, The Boston Globe, Fox News, Washington Post, as you mentioned. It's literally the media is starting to, whether they take a negative stance or not, they're really having another around at this.
Absolutely. I can't see it slowing down at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we got to definitely, I know that this is partly due to the Mad Mike rocket launch, but also due to the conference itself, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. One quick article that I noticed about a week ago, when was this? November 24th, from the dailymail.com. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we've searched around and we can't find any podcast called Flat Earthers, the Flat Earthers podcast, right?
That is correct. I searched it and there's nothing. So they must have been talking about us.
Yeah, I think they did mention us because apparently, I'll just read the headline, Cricket Hero, and we're talking about the sport crickets, cricket, not actual crickets outside, folks. But Cricket Hero Andrew Freddy Flintoff is convinced that the Earth is flat or at the very least, turnip shaped. And it goes on to say that he just recently admitted, Freddie, 39, admitted that he is...
Wait, what does that even mean, turnip-shaped?
I don't know. I guess they're taking turnip like it, kind of like that picture on the Flat Earth Society page with its flying upwards in space with the root at the bottom.
With the root,
yeah, I believe that's a Flat Earth Society reference there, but like always. But, it says that Freddie, 39, admitted that he's become obsessed with a podcast called The Flat Earthers. The show is a genuine conspiracy theory claiming that the Earth being round was a lie peddled by Disney, despite the assertion of a spherical planet having been around since the ancient Greek era, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it sounds a lot like they meant to say The Flat Earth Podcast, not The Flat Earthers. And so I just wanted to quickly say, hey, that's pretty cool if it is our show. And hey, Andrew, Freddy Flintoff, get in touch with us, man. Hit us up. Check us out on Facebook, Flat Earth Podcast, and send us over a message. We'd love to have you on the show. Right, Dave?
Go to our website, theflatearthpodcast.com. Leave us a speak pipe. Give us a way to contact you and maybe come on the show and let's talk about
it. Yeah, we'd love to. Love to have Freddy on. That would be awesome. What else is happening, Dave, with the holidays and with our schedules crisscrossing so much? What have I missed?
You've missed it all, Jay.
Oh, come on, man.
You didn't make the conference.
Well, I still listen to Goldbusters the last 2 weeks, so yeah. I'm still in the loop. But video-wise.
There's so many good videos out there. You really can't keep them. I don't know where to start. Potter's Clay, has put out some good stuff. And Know Who's Back, one of my favorites is My Perspective, Rory Cooper. His stuff is just so good. So if you're not subscribed to My Perspective.
Oh my gosh, he's back.
He's back and he's cranking out the videos and they're really good. So everybody check out My Perspective.
Man, his stuff, you know, over the last couple of years, I mean, so many people have used it within their videos. So if you've never checked out his stuff, you'll recognize the artwork or the computer simulations that he does, because, man, his stuff is second to none as far as visually.
Yeah, he really explains perspective and he's got the computer skills to really draw that picture for you. I try to draw the picture with words and just imagining, but he draws the pictures. So I wish I had those skills.
Wow. Yeah. I've always been impressed with his stuff, and I was so sad when his channel went down. Or, you know, did you ever find out what exactly happened with his channel?
No, I didn't. It went down for whatever reason, and now it's back up. He's making new videos, and he doesn't care.
Well, all that matters is that cares. It's back up.
He cares or doesn't care. Whatever one is letting him do it, there he goes. So, good stuff. I share his videos all the time. I think there's a couple on our Facebook page.
Yeah. To me, all that matters is that it's back. All right, so I'll tell you what, Dave, why don't we haven't done this in a while. We've got a stack of speak pipes that people have left us over the last few weeks. And until we get Robbie on the line, why don't we knock out a couple of those now? You want to do that?
Yeah, go for it.
Great. So let's check out the first one from Chad Dorsey.
Oh, my God, Dave, I just heard your interview. Holy crap, you are such a monster, man. Great job. Wow, you just blew their mind, and they tried so hard to knock you down, but it just was not happening. You were like a train, brother. Great job. Wow. Oh, my God. Pops, man. Pops. Great job. Keep it up.
That's awesome.
So thank God we got that from Corey. Corey, that's Corey the Flat Earth Builder. He's the one that builds tables. He drove down from, you know, like 29 hours to the conference with a truck full of these tables to sell to people. And I think he got rid of all of them. They're amazing. He made me a giant 200-pound wall clock that he sent to me. It's massive. But he's working on creating smaller tables for next year, stuff that can be easily shipped. And I think people are really going to like them and be able to fit them in
their
homes.
Well, that is awesome because, hold on. Well, that is awesome. And I'll tell you this, now that I've got his email address, Corey, Chad, you can expect an email from me because I also want a clock as well.
Wait a minute, Chad or
Dorsey
Corey?
Is his name.
Oh.
So scratch all of that. Corey was the
scratch all of that. But that sounded like Corey. Can you play that again? Let me hear that again. That was Corey.
Okay, well, maybe he sent it from a different email address, but I'll play it again really quick.
Oh my God, Dave! I just heard your interview. Holy crap! You are such a monster, man. Great job. Wow! You just blew their mind, and they tried so hard to knock you down. But it just was not happening. You were like a train, brother. Great job.
All right, wait. We have to re-record that.
No, I tell you what. We're flying by the seat of our pants, Dave, and that's fine.
What was his name?
His name was Chad Dorsey. So, Chad, if you are, in fact, Corey, then the message goes to Corey. Corey, I'll be hitting you up for a table. If you're not Corey, we apologize. And, Chad, thank you so much for the comment. How's that?
That was good. I think he must be referring to the interview I did on a New York radio station early this morning, where these guys were just total baltards, I'll say. And I think I got some good points out there and shocked their listeners a bit.
Well, awesome. So, Chad or Corey, thank you for that. And Dave, I need to check out that interview because that's something I haven't seen.
It was on a New York radio station, and it's on Karen B's channel. She uploaded it. She recorded it and uploaded it, so you can catch it there. Check out Karen B, who does some great Flat Earth videos.
Awesome. All right, let's check out another one here. It says it's from Jeff Moore, but we'll see. Maybe Dave will imply that it's from someone else. Let's see.
Hi, this is Jeff from California. I'm just wondering if there's any way to get all these facts and things in a written form with documentation that would help to prove all this. I know NASA has made statements about the Earth being flat or a horizontal plane, that nothing can get out into space through the Van Allen radiation belts, and that all pictures from space are composite. Is there any way that we can put all this information into like a journal of some kind? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. So is there any one place, as far as the documentation goes from NASA, that implies or reflects that this is a flat Earth?
I am very glad that he called, because there is. And that's something that we're going to be talking about on our next show. We're having author Edward Hendry, who wrote the book, The Greatest Lie on Earth, Proof Our World is Not a Moving Globe. It's a book I took on vacation last year. I read it. Awesome. It starts from the beginning. It goes through everything. It has lots of documentation in the back where all of his sources came from. So I had recently just bought a new one for my nephew, who I flat smacked with it. And I noticed that it was way thicker, and I spoke with Edward the other day, and he said there's 200 new pages in it with new references and new information. There's a new version, and as a matter of fact, he even took one of my videos and put information from my video in there, so I did not realize that. So we're going to be having him on next week, or maybe sooner, hopefully, and sure. And I think it's going to be a great interview. So there is the source. It's in a book. It makes a great holiday gift, and we're going to have a special link where you can buy it, and we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, and I'll also add this. Jeff, if you've got any of that stuff already accumulated or put together and you want to throw it up on a drive for others to add to it, shoot it over to us, let us know, and we'll make it a community sharing thing where we can start adding all the documents in one place as well. So there's all kind of options as far as that goes with this crazy internet world. Let's do one more before we take a quick break and get Robbie Davis on the line. Let's check out this one from Michael.
Hey, guys. This is Michael, North Carolina. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the shadows of the crater on the moon. There's talk about the moon being self-illuminating. And I was wondering how those shadows in the craters could be explained with the moon self-illuminating as opposed to the sun reflecting its light. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Theory on that. Do you have any thoughts first?
Well, let me preface anything we might say, or at least on my side of things, by saying I still don't know what the heck the moon is, all right?
For sure.
I don't know what the moon is. So anything I speculate on is going to be that, speculation. But as I've said in the past on this program, you know, that's the thing that kind of turns me off once I started learning about the flat Earth and really looking into the science behind it. I'm turned off by the fact that I would much rather someone say, I don't have the real answer. I've got theories, but I don't have the real answer rather than give me the wrong answer. Well, so go ahead.
I've been there and I know the answer, so...
So tell us then.
No, I have no idea, but I have a theory, you know. And if anyone's seen my video about the eclipse, where the whatever is eclipsing the sun is actually behind the sun that we see. I believe this is just my belief again, and I'm looking for more evidence to prove it or disprove it, is that the moon and the sun that we see are reflections or projections. I'd rather go with reflections of the real sun and the real moon. And I do believe that there is a connection to the moon phases and the sun, but it's not reflected light. It's energy. So if the sun is lighting up part of the moon, it's reflected and we see it there. So if whatever the moon is does have craters, for lack of a better word, that energy, that light source, may look just like shadows. Kind of hard to describe there.
Yeah, but it's hard to describe. I guess my short answer to Michael would be is that you know, just because I draw a perfectly artistic portrayal of a 3D circle, it's still on a flat piece of paper.
Right. And I don't know. I don't know if the moon is flat, round,
right,
physical, non-physical. I'm leaning towards the moon that we see is just a reflection.
Yeah. Yeah. A reflection of something spherical or something flat. What do you think?
I don't know. I would guess, pure guess, just me, no proof, that the whatever is projecting it is three-dimensional at least. So, right. I told you I was in Vegas at the pool, and the sun in the late afternoon was off to my right, and the hotel that was all mirrored was off to my left, and it was reflecting the sun on the left side of my face, and it was just as hot as the right side of my face, just from the reflection, even with the cement parts in between the mirrored glass. And if it didn't have the breaks in the mirror, I don't think I could tell which one was the real sun or the actual sun, both of them being reflections and both of them transferring heat to my body equally.
Yeah. And I've said this before, when you've mentioned that the reflection of the sun, my biggest takeaway immediately, my knee jerk reaction to that scenario is the fact that if we took an actual mirror up into space at whatever the distance to the moon is, right, and we put it there and we aimed it back down here at Earth, you would feel the heat, just like you did off the side of that building. But why is it that, according to the scientific model, why is it that we don't feel that heat in the middle of the night with a full moon? If it's essentially just a reflection aiming back at us, where does all of that heat go?
Well, it's got 238,000 miles of frigid cold space to go through, so it cools off by the time it gets here.
It's a heat energetic sponge, and it just absorbs all the heat. Right.
So
okay.
The bottom line is basically what we're saying here is nobody's been there. We really don't know. The only thing we could say is there are lights in the sky, and there's probably 50 different explanations that somebody can come up with, but we don't know the truth because we're down here on the Earth plane.
And we're still trying to find it all. But again, I would much rather be searching for the real answer rather than accept what I think is just a made up answer that fits with the entire theory of theirs.
There you go.
All right. So here's what we'll do, Dave. Let's take a quick break. We'll get Robbie on the line. We'll talk about the Flat Earth Conference. If we have time later, we'll take some more speak pipes, depending on how long we go with Robbie. If not, then we'll catch up on all the speak pipes on the next week's show. So stick around.
Has been paid for by the Flat Earth Podcast.
You want to leave a digital voicemail for us? Head over to theflatearthpodcast.com and click on the blue link that reads, "Got a question? Send us a message."
You can do it from your iPhone or from your computer. First time you do it on your cellular phone, you'll have to download a little app. But after that, you can leave us all kinds of messages. If you want to be anonymous, you can make up a name, make up an email address. We don't care. We just want to hear what you have to say.
We'll do our best to play or answer these questions and comments on future episodes right here on the Flat Earth Podcast. Download the SpeakPipe app and check us out at theflatearthpodcast.com.
The Flat Earth Podcast.
If you're watching this audio on YouTube right now and you're not familiar with the world of podcasting, there's a far better way to listen to the Flat Earth Podcast each and every week.
Think of it like your TiVo or your DVR is to your television. You subscribe to whatever show that you like. Whenever a new episode comes out, it records it, downloads it, and notifies you that there's a new episode for easy listening anywhere. Another great feature on most podcast players is you could speed up if you want to hear stuff even faster, or more importantly, it has a jump back and jump forward 30 seconds so you could skip annoying announcements like this.
We're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and so many more. If we're not on your favorite podcast app, send us a message and let us know to make sure we will be.
The Flat Earth Podcast.
Back here on the Flat Earth Podcast, and got a special guest joining us right now, Dave. Robbie from Celebrate Truth is on the line with us. And, you know, you guys were down there in Raleigh at the conference, but I had to get Robbie on the podcast so I could talk to you both about it. I was very depressed that I didn't get to make it. Robbie, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Dave, let me start with you, man. I know that we texted back and forth, but how was it, bro?
It was amazing in so many ways. And, you know, I gave it an A+ for the first year, and with lots of room for improvement for next year.
Yeah, so I'm looking at actually doing an A++++ for next year. I've already got a lot of great ideas.
People are giving me a lot of crap for giving it an A+. For the first year, it was an A+. If you did the exact same thing next year, I'm going to give you a C-.
All right, good to know. Well, I can definitely assure everyone that I'm definitely, obviously, as we grow, there's going to be more room to expand, have multi-track sessions, and basically make everyone happy.
So, yeah, I watched a little bit online, and it looked like the turnout that everyone was expecting. Was there tons of people there?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was so many people, and there was so much media. And I mean, I knew kind of talking with them leading up to the conference, whether it was ABC's Nightline, you know, arranging access to be there, or HBO and different networks. So I knew that the media would be there, but also it was overwhelming in the sense of seeing how long they stayed. It wasn't like they came, got a couple of interviews and left. I mean, some of them were there for 3 days and more.
And I've been trying to catch some of the what the media did. Mostly what I've been watching is, you know, I saw your recording of it, like, you know, the unedited, the raw footage, I guess I should say, which was a great idea. I have not seen some of the edited yet. So how is the media treating it so far, guys?
I mean, for me, what I'm hearing is they're looking since the conference and based on the conference that now it's something to be looked at as real. And I'm not saying it wasn't real before, but they were seeing a bunch of people online. But when it started moving off of line, not into maybe meetups, but also into a conference type setting, they're like, wait a minute, they're having sessions. There's people coming here from, you know, all over the earth. This is something we need to start documenting. So I've been talking to media and they're all kind of looking at it like, wait a minute, we're not just laughing at this anymore and thinking this is crazy. Something must be going on, because how do you get people not only to assemble together, but also, you know, pay money to hear speakers of all different topics and just the level. I mean, being able to provide, you know, my movie premiere for Scientism Exposed 2, to do the award show, just to have an experience for a lot of people. But the media seeing that, they understand that this community is getting larger and it's becoming real and it's something they can't ignore anymore.
There was an amazing buzz around town. Some people reported that they'd go into a store to get something and people like, hey, are you from that conference? You know, and they knew about the conference. They're like, what is going on? I don't know if they saw the billboard or, you know, or what they saw, but there was a whole buzz in all of Raleigh. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's great that the media got there and actually got to speak to, you know, if we put ourselves in their shoes, you know, a field reporter that's assigned this, I was about to say this case, this story, they go down to Raleigh and they're like, what? We got to travel flat Earth. We got to go down there and cover flat Earth with a conference. You know, unless they looked into it, I saw a couple of the videos where the person doing the interviewing had looked into it, like the lady who interviewed Rob Skiba. But could you imagine? I mean, they've got to not know what to expect. They must have expected some total just craziness if they didn't look into it. And then what a great thing it was to get down there and actually speak to literate people and realize, oh my gosh, they're serious.
And I think it's a great opportunity. You know, people will talk about the media covers, but for one example, every interview I did, I made sure that they knew that we're not in any way affiliated with the Flat Earth Society. So I think that we need to have this gradual shift where the media starts going, oh, that's not really the source anymore. That's not the authority. What's happening here at this conference becomes the authority. And I think that's important because, again, we come from all different beliefs and backgrounds. We have different models and ideas. They see a diversity. They see something else happening, not just one dogma, one kind of enclosed type system with the Flat Earth Society. So for me, I've never been threatened by the Flat Earth Society, but what I wanted to do was start shifting the media focus, and that's already happening because I don't know if you've noticed, but since the conference, most of the attention hearing from the authorities were at the conference. They're not going to the Flat Earth Society because the Flat Earth Society aren't having conferences. So that the shift is going to take place. They're going to look at us as this is the community we have to look at, because what, is there 500 members in the Flat Earth Society? There was over 500 people just at that conference alone. So it's waking people up. It's making people recognize something deeper, something bigger is going on. And I'm all fine for good, bad, neutral press. It doesn't matter, because more people are going to be looking into this issue.
The guys from HBO that were there for the 3 days, they went there thinking, all right, this is crazy. We're going to talk to some kooky people. But over the time, you know, we spoke with them on camera a lot and off camera a lot, and they were asking real questions. They were flat curious, to say the least. And by the time they left, I know what they're doing right now. They're sitting and watching videos. They're trying to figure this out. They've had the seed planted in them. And you know, their video, their report was not great, but it was pretty good. You know, they interviewed Jaron and I for 45 minutes and put in one quote from me. That's it.
Yeah, that's always the way. Yeah, that's always the way, right? You'll have these long interviews and they take, you know, 2 seconds of it. But again, over time, the question is, what are they focusing on? Before, what they would do is a news piece and they'd focus on the Flat Earth Society. They're not doing that anymore. So what I'm saying is, I look at it as positive. They're starting to actually look at the people that really we don't buy into, you know, we're an accelerating disc flying, you know, upwards throughout space. Once they start seeing that transition, now something's going to get a little bit more serious in their mind, because again, maybe it was discounted before. But like I said, it's becoming more of an authority. It's becoming more real to them. And I said this, not just for the people that went to the conference, it was important for even the speakers to meet one another, because for them, it finally became real. In so many ways, we needed this to go to the next level. We needed the realness aspect to come into it. And I say this is so incredibly important, because what everyone experienced at the conference, and I haven't heard one bad thing as far as the experience at the conference, as far as meeting the community, and that's a big part of these things, is the fellowship and hanging out with people. But what was experienced there is they said, wow, this is real. And they will go home and they will network and they will go to a new level. But again, a lot of this infighting and all the stuff we see online over time will just become noise. It will become irrelevant. And people that really don't want to move forward and see the big picture, that's what I love about the conference, is it's people coming together that maybe differ on many areas, but they see the big picture. And we need to focus on what we agree on rather than what we do not agree with.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Robbie. And I think that if there's one goal or one accomplishment that comes out of this, to kind of paraphrase what you were saying about the Flat Earth Society, is, you know, if anything, if we could run this thing for a few years and change the vernacular to where no matter what the report is, if it's positive or if it's negative, if you're bashing Flat Earth or if you're curious about Flat Earth, whatever the report is, let's put the words Flat Earth Conference in place of Flat Earth Society. Mm-hmm. In the general public's vernacular, in their vocabulary.
I make sure that whenever I'm talking to the press now, one of the first things out of my mouth is, we're not a flying disc in space. We have nothing to do with the Flat Earth Society. That's pure disinformation. And then I go right into points, you know, what the Flat Earth is.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be an incredible... I watched both of you guys, some of your interviews, and I watched all of Rob Skiba's, and I think that was a great thing that everyone, I believe, touched on was, no, this is not Flat Earth Society. That's disinformation. But, you know, if we could just change the average field reporters, even if they're going to crack the joke about the Flat Earth Conference.
Sure.
Instead of Flat Earth Society.
Exactly. Because then now the focus and attention's there when they're going to try to find some commonality, and they're going to find many differences. They're going to go, wow, these guys all have differing views and here and there, but they're all coming together. Something bigger is going on. And that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm seeing. Even with the community going forward into Denver for next year, I think that this is really where it's really going to start getting real and taking off to the next level, is because people are basically meeting, and there's a lot of power when people meet. In a building, even for a few days, the stuff that gets done there lasts a lifetime.
Robbie, I have to say that was the biggest part of the meeting. You know, there was great presentations by a bunch of people, but meeting all of these people, hanging out in the hotel, lounge area, knowing that everybody has a common belief that we're not on a spinning ball, or our common understanding. I don't even like to call it a belief anymore. That was amazing. And then to meet people like Dave Marsh and, Karen B and Jaron and Bob was amazing. Bob and Jaron have been doing Globusters for, 3 years now? And that's the first time they met. This connecting personally, now I know who people are. And, you know, I don't wonder about them anymore. I've met them in person.
Jaron Campanella had said the same thing. He said it was so important for me just to look in people's eyes and know, wow, they're real. They're not just names behind a computer screen. And to him, it really started changing for him. And I knew that. I knew that the importance for the community, but I also knew the importance for the speakers, because there's a lot of, you know, gossip and fighting that goes on. But I'll tell you, once you've met someone, you've basically got to know them. Regardless of what you hear, you can be like, I met that guy. I'm just going to give him a call on the phone. We're going to talk about this. So really, yeah. You stop buying into the propaganda. You stop buying into the lies. And really, I look at kind of the majority. That's what's going on online right now. People talk about, you know, they got to send the government in. They got to do this. Government doesn't even have to do a darn thing right now because there's so much infighting. So what is going to help this moving forward is people kind of seeing the community form, the realness, and being able to just look at someone and say, wow, this is real. And that realness really propels someone forward to do some incredible work. And I think that it's going to be important, not just for the content creators on YouTube, but also for the people, what they take home, the people they meet, and what we all do together moving this forward.
I want to make a comment about, you know, there's some people there's so many different opinions about the conference, and people are saying, oh, you're separating from others. That is not the case at all. The conference is for everybody. Anybody can go. And yes, it costs money to go to a conference. Conferences are not cheap. But if you can't go, you can watch it online live for just a few bucks. And if you don't want to pay those few bucks, you just wait a week. And then it's on YouTube. It's available for everybody. Nobody's excluded. And it's only better, you know, bringing people together. That's all it is doing. Bringing people together and expanding collaboration.
Yeah, I never once in the entire buildup for the conference ever took from this, or I never even got the notion that this was, you know, oh, you're not including people. I don't know whoever would have come up with that, but I always looked at it as, wow, there's a bunch of different presenters. You know, some people may believe more of this, some believe, you know, think more of that, but it's great that everyone is coming together. I mean, it was, to me, is the opposite of being, you know, exclusive or cutting people out. It was actually welcoming everyone. It was free.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to make
free,
that clear.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
free everyone.
Yeah, I don't want to make that clear that going forward, obviously, you know, anyone is welcome. And I think a lot of people that bring up these, you know, accusations, they're the ones that will be like, oh, you know, a lot of people can't afford that. But they're the same people that when a concert comes to town, they pay $180 to, you know, go and listen to that music band. So what I'm saying is, in if you look at the reality of everything, most of the people that were crying out the loudest didn't even go. And what I say, I mean, I've been approached by a lot of different people. What I say is, listen, come out, try your best to come out, and at the end of the conference, come up to me and let's talk. Because what I got from people, you know, I didn't get anyone coming up to me afterwards and saying that was a waste of money. And if I can provide basically an experience, a event, whatever you want to call it, and people feel that it was worth the value they paid, then that is a great thing. Because again, it will actually create so much stuff going forward. And again, there's amazing work going on by Gary with the Flat Earth Convention UK. I'm working with him. There's going to be other ones that are going to spring up. But what that's going to do is take it to the next level. And yes, we need to go there if we really want to start making a dent, especially when it comes to the eyes of the world. And there has been a lot of people that have reached out and seen how they're looking, and they're taking a second look at Flat Earth because they can't ignore it. When they see so many people of so many different user groups and belief systems meeting together, and they're kind of saying, wait a minute, not everyone can be really that dumb. So if there's some intelligent people here and there's people coming forward, maybe we should take a look at this. Something must be going on, especially with the rapid growth. And I'm not talking just North America. I'm talking in Russia is exploding. I'm talking in Asia right now. I'm doing an interview actually tomorrow with a television station out of South Korea. I've done interviews just in the last week with Russia, with UK, with Canada, and this is exploding in other countries. So sometimes we focus what's going on here. But I think it was important for people to understand that the first year, I really made this clear when I gave my opening address, is saying this will mark history. This is the first time ever it's happened, and this will be put in the history books. And going forward, it is going to spur on so much innovation, grassroots plans going forward. It is really going to escalate very quickly after this. And to me, it was really important to let people know, look, the first year wasn't so much about learning so much about Flat Earth. It was to talk to the world and saying, wake up, we're coming, and to challenge the scientific community and saying, listen, we are, maybe right now you can hide, but sooner as our numbers grow, we are going to demand you come to the table. And you know what? The world is going to demand it as well, because they're going to say, you need to shut these guys down. You need to go to the debate table. And I'm saying, you might think they're going to hide forever. They won't be able to forever. And when they come to the debate table, I love what Mark Sargent says all the time. In a 9-round fight, if they lose even one round, forget the first round, it's over.
Yeah, or if they don't make it, or if they don't, how does he say, if they don't knock us out in the first round?
Hey, do you know that there's a conference in Australia in March? Are you aware of that, Robbie?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen any details on it, but I do know that they're in the works, yes.
Yeah, so that's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, so of the final edited coverage that we have seen, has any of them surprised you and been, you know, overwhelmingly not negative or not, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there was a few, actually some of the local news, I forget the name, where I call out Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson at the very beginning of that clip. I thought it was a very well neutral, there's not one bad thing in that entire one. That was by a local television crew in Raleigh, but I think, or maybe Kerry itself, but they did an actual pretty neutral piece. There was no agenda. There wasn't even anyone silly, unless you say I'm looking silly, but really all I do is I say, look, I'm calling on Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye, you know, come to the table. If you think this is so silly and you want to laugh and drop mics, come to the table. So what I'm doing is I'm in my interviews with media, I'm getting them looking at another news piece, a news piece where, why is the scientific community hiding from these guys? If it's so silly and they're saying, we don't want to waste our time, it might be fun. We might get a good comedy show. Why don't you come to the table? So at a certain point, the media is going to start saying, listen, you've got to address this. And I think we can use the media to actually add pressure on the scientific community to come to the table.
Robbie, they don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society.
Oh.
Yes, but we're going to ask them to have to have time for the Flat Earth Conference, and soon.
Didn't Neil make a comment not long ago saying, you know, you can bring up this or this, but if you want to talk about the Earth being flat, it's beyond the realms of even giving it a minute. That's what he's trying to float out there. So that's not going to last much longer.
Sure, and the question to you, David, how much time are you going to actually focus on spending time on a floating disc flying upwards through space, right? So my point is, yes, I understand that, but the logic is going to change here soon, and they're not going to look at a big pancake disc flying through space. They're going to look at something brand new, and it's going to have to be addressed.
Yeah.
So at the for the 2018 conference, you know, if you got your dream list of things that you could do differently or add in addition to, give us some of the ideas you're floating around or you're brainstorming for 2018.
I mean, it's not really even a wish list, like how could I have done so much better? To tell you the truth, I was actually feeling incredibly good about the conference. I mean, David talks about, you know, as a first year, I mean, I had many people saying, I've been in the conference scene for many years, I've never seen something so well, especially for the first time. I can only improve. And what I do even with my documentary films is I try to wow people even more so. Most people say, I can't see how you could top that. And I'll top it. And I'm telling you right now that Denver will be topped in magnitudes. And the only reason I'm doing that is I'm basically fine tuning and listening to the community. But really what happens is when you grow larger, you can just appease more people. So rather than putting them in a position, one thing I say all the time is, if you're not for the Bible, flat earth and the Bible, well, then you're going to have an alternative to go to see, you know, David Weiss talking about the metrics of, you know, the sun or whatever. All I'm saying is I will provide an option that if you don't want to go to a Bible session, then you can go to a scientific session. Another thing that I'm also working on, especially with all the key speakers, is providing workshops so that they'll actually be able, people will be able to come and sit in a classroom style environment, 30 to 50 people, and learn to get deeper into certain topics. So I'll be able to put a lot more topics on the table, even when it comes to different models. I don't believe that we're at a point right now where we need to have a whole session on a certain model, like, for example, whether it's, Square Earth, but a workshop is a perfect environment, because if someone wants to basically go to a workshop and learn about Square Earth, great. So for me, I'm all about the big picture. And in the main sessions, I want to make sure that people come there, they're informed, they learn, they have a great time. But the first year, it was important to me not to basically start teaching people in flat earth. It was to basically declare to the world, it's now getting to the new level. Wake up, we're coming, and we're going to demand that you come to the table. What are you scared of? And the world is going to look, and they're going to wonder, and pretty soon they're going to be like, I want to look into this, because science isn't addressing these questions, and they have some really good questions to ask.
I think that's a great assessment, Robbie, because for me personally, what I was seeking when I, you know, as you know, I went online, I think it was right after the VIP. I mean, I got in there really early and grabbed two tickets, wasn't able to go, but the my intentions for going were not, hey, I'm going to go to this conference to session it up and learn something new. It was to, like you guys mentioned, to meet in person, David, yourself, Jaron, and all of the other people out there from all different walks of life that are into this. And then also to make the statement to the public of, look, you know, look at us. Here we are in numbers. This is for real. And, you know, to moving forward. Yeah. You want to, let's do sessions. Let's do whatever. But I think you hit the nail on the head, Robbie. I mean, you accomplished exactly what I was hoping to get by going.
Yeah. And I mean, that was, you know, something that was really important to me. And again, it wasn't even the sessions and having the speakers. To me, it was meeting. I knew that when also this took place in a large capacity, things would start changing, not just with the community itself and not just with the people that are the content creators out there, but it would also help with the way the world looks at us, deal with us, and even the media. And I'm already seeing that transition. But for me, I know a lot of people are really optimistic and they think, you know, that the whole world's going to know in a couple of years. I'm more of a realist. And I think that this is a strategy we're putting in place. It's a multi-generational strategy. But even if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong if everyone comes to Flat Earth in 5 years. You know, I'll have no problem admitting and apologizing. But really what I see right now is we have to be strategic. We've got to look at this, and it's a long haul. But we can be strategic, like I said, at the very first. Let's just start getting the shift off Flat Earth Society and on to great content creators that are actually providing reasonable answers, not ridiculousness like we're a floating pancake in space.
So let me ask both of you this. Did you guys, I know Robbie, you were probably slammed busy, but did you get to see most of the presenters?
I mean, when I was there, it was actually funny. I didn't see anything, okay? It was right. Like, I was going a million miles an hour. I was having the time of my life. I wanted to meet people. I wanted to make sure that at least every single person at once I got to meet in person, just to be available, meeting all the speakers and having times with them, my security team. And I really, you know, wanted to make sure that the speakers were looked after, that also people knew that there was good security in place. I was looking at every aspect of this. So for me, while that was happening, I knew I could sit back and relax and enjoy it, but that was the time to make sure that everyone was good, and that this, because a lot of people were watching it, not just the people in the community, but also the world. And I really wanted to present an image that it was like, you know what, we're proud to be part of this because it's professional. It looks good. It's something that I'm proud to actually associate with. And I knew that was important, especially when you have all these different varying beliefs and different personalities, that when they saw that, they were like, wow, you know, this was something that I'm looking forward to growing with, because again, it's done right. And really, sometimes all you have to do is do something very professional. I've had so many people reach out to me based on the quality of some of my documentaries where they're like, I didn't pay attention, but when I saw the caliber and the quality of it, I started listening. So sometimes quality really helps draw in the world. When all of a sudden we start emulating what we're seeing on television or the major networks, if we emulate that work and it comes to conferences and meetups and we have business people and we have hippies coming, all different walks of life, they're like, this is attracting a lot of people. Maybe something else is going on. Maybe we should document this. Not to mention, not just the media. I don't know if many people know this, but there were social scientists. There were people that were interested in the community that came to learn. They want to see what makes us tick. They want to see if they can find certain things out, which is fine, because what they're going to find is we can't find out any commonalities, in the sense of we can't put everyone in a box. They're all different. What is going
on? Everyone's different. Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on? And I tell people in every interview, I make this clear with any interview I do, there are three types of people that come to this. You've got the scientific minded people that don't care about religion or conspiracy. They just want the true empirical science. You've got the religious people and you've got the conspiratorial people. But I never want the media to go away thinking this is just one big conspiracy. I don't want the media ever going away thinking it's just one religious cult. And I right. definitely don't want people to. So I say, listen, it's very clear and you should write this. And it has been written in the articles that I've seen come out. When I made this clear, it comes out in the one that I did for Global News Toronto that just came out. They make it very clear that there's three major groups that are coming to this. And you can't just say it's religious. You can't just say it's a bunch of tinfoil hat wearing people. There's true people out there that don't care about either. They want the true science. They want to find out the reality of our world using the true definition of science.
I think it's so important that, yeah, that the media finds out that, no, you can't paint this group with one brush. We're not all tinfoil hat guys. We're not all conspiracy guys. We're not all religious, whatever. You can't paint us all with one brush, just like we couldn't say that every news reporter asking questions, we can't paint you guys with one brush, can we?
Exactly. And when they see that, it really
sure
it really
can.
Opens up the door. Yeah.
But yet we can, actually.
sure. I hear what you're saying. But yeah, I just think that's important, because the media love to basically just put everyone in a box. They do it all the time. You see it everywhere. But this one is making them scratch their head a little bit because they're not seeing it anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dave, did you get to see most of the presentations while you were there?
I think I saw almost all of them, and it was fascinating. You know, some things will be adjusted next year, and it was just an amazing presentation. I enjoyed everything. I took the parts that I liked, and I left the parts that I didn't like.
So, just personal fave, like what? Who in your opinion was like you were right on page with them, and just knocked it out of the park?
You know, Iru and Jaren were, you know, they're my favorites.
Shocker, right?
You know, yeah, shocker. Jaren is just so heartfelt. You know, he had this whole presentation ready to go, and at the last minute he ditched it because he felt it was just like his videos. So he just spoke. He stood up there, put his hands on the podium, and spoke from his heart. And really, he has a goal to expose NASA by the end of 2018. And I actually think that's a possible goal. The way things are going, as long as, you know, communications don't shut down for any reason, I don't see why that cannot happen.
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, NASA, to me, has in the last 2 years has lost so much credibility with so many people. And it's just one of those things that where I think of it like the genie in the bottle deal. It's like this isn't something you can put back in the bottle, sweep up under the rug.
And I know Robbie says, you know, of several generations to bring Flat Earth completely out. But if there's a way to get the masses to see the deception of NASA, that's not a hole in the dike. That's basically blowing up the dike.
Yeah, yeah, that is. That's sinking the ship right there.
Following announcement. Has been paid for by
the Flat Earth Podcast.
Looking for a great Christmas gift idea for friends and loved ones, or just a way to spread the truth about the Flat Earth, head over to theflatearthpodcast.com and click on the link that brings you to the book, The Greatest Lie on Earth, Proof That Our World Is Not a Moving Globe by Edward Henry.
Right on the webpage, we have an image of the book there. If you click it, that'll take you to Amazon, right to the book buying page, and you could buy it there. Also, any other shopping that you're going to be doing this holiday season, if you use that link, Amazon will be forced to give a few percent of their profits over to Jarenism so it can help expose NASA and the truth about the Flat Earth.
The Flat Earth
Podcast.
If you're a fan of the Flat Earth Podcast and you want to help us out, here's something simple you can do. Just find the page for the Flat Earth Podcast on iTunes and leave us a review. You can leave us a star rating and a short comment summarizing why you enjoy the show. And these reviews will help our iTunes review average. So head over to iTunes and leave us a quick review. Tell us why you love the Flat Earth Podcast.
The Flat Earth
Podcast.
If we can at least get everyone, like you said, I think NASA's a great idea, because if we can get everyone questioning the moon, and again, you remember, this process doesn't happen overnight for a lot of people, but if we start cracking the foundations on the moon landing, it opens up Flat Earth 100%.
Robbie, we can't go to the moon. We've lost that technology, and it would be too painful to recreate it, and we've already been there, so let's just go to Mars.
Bingo.
There you go.
You know, back. I think one of the things that I put in the Right Now video early on was... Right now, we should all be Googling NASA bubbles in space. And the point of that is like, you know, Jaren and Dave are saying, is that I really think that is the tip of the iceberg. But it's not only the tip of the iceberg. If you can get the general public to see what we see, you know, just with one of these little videos that Dave, you know, throws up on Facebook or that scientism presents, you know, if we can get them to see the chicanery, if you will, that NASA's up to even to this day, and make them raise their eyebrow. And then, you know, hopefully the average person is going to put two and two together and go, wait a second, just about everything I know about this globe and about, you know, every verification I have is either from my textbook, which is, you know, approved by the government, or from NASA. And we just shot a hole in half of that NASA. Boom. I think everyone most people are capable of saying 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is the whole thing, that the community itself is moving this direction. There's a lot of people that, you know, and again, it comes down to change. People really don't like change. And when they start seeing it moving off of line, going into, you know, buildings and stuff, I mean, and again, we come from a very kind of skeptical mindset. So I understand that. So what I'm just telling people, like, look, wherever you're at, come out and just experience it. Because the whole idea of just meeting people to that magnitude, honestly, it will change your life. It is just an incredible experience. It's something important for us moving moving forward, whether the whole world comes to embrace this in 2 years or 20 years or 200 years, my point is that during that journey, at least it's one time, especially a year, we can look forward to basically having the time of our lives. And that's exactly it. And again, it's not about what speaker you like or what you don't like. You will find something that you do enjoy. And I would say a big part, 80% of the conference wasn't the actual sessions. It was the community and meeting and having fun together.
Speaking of the community, one of the greatest things about being aware of the flat earth is that you're aware of the mind program that the elite want us in, which is go to work, drink beer, watch TV, you know, and go to sleep and of, you know, a few other things. And that's where people are. But during the conference in the evening, there was 100+ people or more, in the hotel bar. There was two screens on with some games that were on, big sports games, and nobody was looking at the television. I've never seen that before. You know, every bar, there's people, everyone's looking at it, talking sports, talking weather, talking, you know, nuclear scares from North Korea. None of that was going on. Everybody was, you know, laughing at the nonsense in the news, not watching the sports and talking about real things.
How can you watch sports? How can you watch sports when you know you're about to change the world together? I mean, that's the reality of this. People get so excited and come together because it's not just the reality and the truth of this topic, it's the fact that the world is going to change and people are going to come to realize the true nature of their world. That's exciting, knowing that you're basically part of history, but you're also part of basically the change that's going to come, that's going to take place in this world.
And there was no Kyrie Irving spottings, were there?
No, didn't see Kyrie. Didn't see any. To tell you the truth, I didn't see anyone taller than me. I think that was the cool thing. I would run into people and they're like, I never realized that you were so tall. And I said, you know what? That's the point. You would have never known me unless you met me. And that's my point I say to everyone. The whole reality, every single person that came up to me and said, wow, I never knew you were so tall. And I'm saying, exactly. And you never would have unless you met with me. So that's why people need to meet.
If anyone was there that was taller than you, that would be proof that the Nephilim existed, and we wouldn't have to be screaming at the Smithsonian for hiding anything. So I think anyone taller than you would be considered a giant.
I think Rob Skiba has tried to poke me a few times to get some blood samples because he's a little curious.
Yeah. For those that you don't know, Robbie's 7'6".
No, I'm not 7'6". I'm 6'7".
Wow. Yeah. So I would have felt short.
You're 4'5"?
Felt 4'5". I'm only 5'4", but I would have felt 4'5", right? It's so incredible. And I urge everyone to, everyone who listens to this podcast to get ready now for next year. Do you have the dates for next year, Robbie?
Absolutely. Yeah, the website's actually up and tickets are already selling. It's fe2018.com. So if you just go to fe2018.com, it will be in Denver, Colorado, November 15th and 16th. And yeah,
15th
like I said,
and 16th.
Correct.
And if you forget, there's a link on the flatearthpodcast.com.
That's right
there.
That's right. And also, where can people check out Scientism 2? Where can they check out the videos from the presenters at the conference, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah. If you just go to actually fe2017.com, you have all the information for last year's conference there. It's all on the fe2017.com. Also, you know, if you YouTube it, you can find, you know, the conference sessions if you type in Flat Earth International Conference. But we definitely have the live stream replay still up on the site there. And then Scientism Exposed 2 and all my work on YouTube, you can find on the website celebratetruth.org. So it's just the two words. If you want to Google, if you just Google Celebrate Truth in Google, you'll find all my stuff.
Yeah, fortunately, most of our audience, a lot of our audience anyway, is for the Flat Earth podcast, are already in a Flat Earth. And you may have already seen it, guys, but anyone who's listening to this, who's, you know, on the fringe, maybe the outside of the Flat Earth bubble, who's been listening, because we do get emails from people who don't watch all the YouTube stuff, but I implore you, get on YouTube, go to Robbie's channel, and please check out Scientism, the documentary, and of course, Scientism 2 now, the sequel. But you want to talk about production value and just hammering home the points that are really tough to argue with. You know, that is such a great video. Scientism is so good.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, again, for me, Scientism Exposed, that entire project was, there were so many great flat earth, you know, documentaries out there. But what I wanted to do is to have something put together where all it did is got people thinking, asking a question, where then they would start their journey. So what has happened for so many people with Scientism Exposed and Scientism Exposed 2 that just released is Scientism Exposed 2 just gets them a little deeper along that journey. But if you followed it and especially watched Scientism Exposed, you got to a point where at least one thing would register. And for me, one of the big things, and I talked to people on planes when I was shooting Scientism Exposed 2, I started talking to someone on the plane, and you know, I brought up the getting into NASA. But what I usually use is say, don't you find that strange that in the 60s and 70s, we supposedly went a quarter of a million miles away, you know, in a tin can kind of thing. And yet since then, the furthest that we've gone is 400 miles. And I would say for the majority of people, they start going, that is weird. Not the moon landing. Don't focus on the moon. Focus on the fact that why is it that in the last, you know, 40 some years, the furthest that man can go, you know, is 400 miles. And they're like, really? Like, yeah, don't you find that weird? So again, Scientism Exposed is just to kind of get people going, huh, that's weird. I want to look into that. That can't be true. And then when they find out that the telemetry data is all lost, they're like, holy smokes, they're admitting it's destroyed. Like David was joking around before that, you know, we destroyed all the technology. But when you say these things and they Google it, instantly they're going to start getting sucked in. They're going to be like, wait a minute, one thing, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But then they're going to see that things aren't adding up, and it's going to have them come to a great channel. So for me, Scientism Exposed, it doesn't even mention, the first one doesn't even mention flat earth in the entire thing. So again, it wasn't about flat earth. It wasn't about the shape of the earth. It was about, wait a minute, could they be lying about one aspect that I'm being told? And right, one thing, if it piques their interest, they're off to the races.
Robbie, what proof do you have that we've been 400 miles from Earth?
Okay, well, I'm just saying based on their
No, that's
admitting.
What they're saying. Sure. I'm just saying we're throwing it out there like, oh, that's what we believe that. I don't believe it. I don't believe we've been 400 miles. I think we've been like...
Okay, sorry. Let's say the ISS...
20 miles.
Okay, sure. But what I say, though, is I'm just saying, a quarter of a million versus a couple hundred. Let's give them that. Because again, I'm talking to someone... Right.
We're giving it to them, but I don't believe we're even close to that far
David, you talk to a person on the plane and you say, dude, want to tell you something? He says, what? You say, space doesn't exist. You're going to blow his mind and he's going to think you're a freak. So what I'm saying is when you're talking to someone that's not even there yet, you can't tell them that there's no such thing as space. You can't tell them that the earth is flat right away. You got to kind of work your way into it. That's what I do. That's my method. Everyone has their different methods. But for me, Scientism Exposed has helped them look into NASA. And the minute they see the fact that certain things were frauds, they say, well, why would they lie? And when they start realizing the question, why, then it starts opening up their whole world to like, oh, okay, therefore they might be lying to me about many other things. I want to know what I've been lied to. And I think that's a strategy.
Yeah,
it's just a strategy.
And them losing the telemetry data, you can pile on top of that. Oh, and they also lost all the videotapes. Oh, and they also just recently announced that they lost the actual technology.
No, they didn't lose the videotapes. They recorded over them to save money.
That's right. Yeah. Warehouses full of these
It was
old
the Super Bowl, guys. Guys, it was the great Super Bowl. You have to record that, right?
Yeah, season finale of MASH. It was something, right?
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, before we go, I want to talk about the conference next year. Mm-hmm. And you have a list of speakers with more to come. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you have some ideas of some other speakers, but I'm sure that there's some other people that are going to pop up out of the woodwork that may be something that you want to have at the conference. How do people, if somebody thinks they have something of value to bring to the conference, how do they approach you and get your attention to take a look at what they want to do?
I mean, at this point, people, you know, obviously for me, it's important that I get to know people. So it has nothing to do with I'm picking certain people or being favored, you know, to certain individuals. What I'm saying is I've been, you know, in the community now for 2.5 years. I've sat back and I've watched really good, genuine characters. I've seen the work that the people have done. So for me, I'm open and willing to talk to anyone. I want to get to know you. I want to see what makes you tick. Let me start watching your videos. And again, I want a great diversity going forward. So again, there's going to be more opportunities going forward because maybe, you know, it's not a main, you know, speaking session in the main auditorium, but it might be, hey, are you interested in teaching a workshop? You know, you have a really great video series that no one else is touching on. This is a great opportunity for you to teach people. They want to come and learn. So again, we could start with workshops. We could move to different sessions. But for me, it's important that I just get to know them. And also I hear from others that they're kind of recommended in the sense that, you know what, I vouch for them. Because to me, like I said, when you start getting into this level, you've got to have people that you depend on. Obviously before this conference, there were a few people that bowed out. Some things happened, but you know, people are like, are you upset? I'm like, no, because for me, it makes my job easier going forward. I just want to make sure that I have a good and here's the main thing. If you believe that you see the big picture and you know you have differences and all that, but again, every other second video is not like, you know, tearing down somebody else in the community, then I'm going to talk to you. But if I see that most of your work has been tearing down some other people in the community, regardless of your differences, it's not likely that we're going to go very far.
Yeah, you know, I just thought of something you were mentioning there, Robbie, or someone mentioned this a while back. It was when we were talking about the interviews. One thing that I thought was really interesting was that, you know how we always say they're trying to pigeonhole the paint us with one rush. You know, we're either just Christian nuts or tinfoil hat conspiracy guys. The thing that I found that was very similar in several of the interviews that I watched, the one with Rob Skiba, the one with Dave and Jaron, that they were dying to do is... I think both of those in particular said, so you guys are basically science bashers. Like, you don't like science. You're anti-science, which I thought, and I thought Jaron, Dave, and Rob all handled that very well by saying, no, actually, we're totally pro real science.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so I just thought it was interesting because we know they try to portray us as religious freaks or conspiracy nut jobs or whatever. But the other thing that I think they're trying to grab onto, and maybe it's because so often in the news the last few years they've called anyone who denies climate change science deniers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that in several of the interviews that the media was really trying to go with the just label us as anti-science guys.
That's a great point, Jay, because again, that's exactly what they're trying to do, because what they equate this with is denying science, denying climate change. And I don't know if you found this, David, interviewing, but I've noticed this as well. They really want to know your political affiliation, because they're like, is this more of a Republican, you know, versus Democrat type situation? So for them, they're just trying to grasp, they're trying to figure this out. When they find that most people didn't even vote, right, or they're not siding with any of the system, it really confuses them even more. So yeah. Again, it's a really great point. But again, we're going to be labeled science deniers. And what I do in all my interviews is make sure I'm like, look, I love true science. I am against scientism. And so that's why I explain scientism. And it's kind of that word that just helps them going, oh, okay, so you love science, but you hate scientism. Well, what's scientism? Well, scientism isn't truly science, you know, basically that. And then when they're like, okay, so you guys really do love science. Yeah. And again, I heard that with interviews with other people, even people in the community. And I think that's a great thing. If they start publishing those things and going, these guys aren't science deniers, they love science apparently, but they're skeptical with these types of areas, then I think it will start changing the narrative. And again, we've got work to do. I said at my opening address at the conference, this is not going to be an easy road, but the rewards are going to be huge. So stick in there. It's going to be rough. You know, we can have highs and lows, but it's not going to be easy. I'm telling you right now. Maybe you might say I'm a pessimist. I'm more of a realist, and I'm excited for the journey, but we've got work to do, and it's going to be rough.
Yeah, and the important thing to remember, you said as far as highs and lows, and we've got work to do. You said this earlier, any publicity is good publicity when it comes to the flat earth. And we have to remember, all of us that are now into this, that most of us anyway didn't get sold on this whole flat earth thing on the first attempt or the first video or the first time it was heard. So, you know, I think that if a large media outlet, whether it's an online article or a quick deal on Vice, when they paint us with a silly brush or they portray us as just the way we figured they would, it's still okay, because it's getting the term flat earth right back into someone else's head who may not have heard it before. And I think we all needed one, two, three, four tries before we listened.
Absolutely. And again, here's the reality of the situation. I'm like basically, you know, the conference organizer for the Flat Earth International Conference. And when I first came to the subject, I did go to Flat Earth Society. You think that, you know, prevented me from going further? No, I wanted to learn more. So why are we so scared of the Flat Earth Society? What I'm saying is reality, people are going to go on their journey. But the great news is when they start doing more Google searches, when they start looking in the media, what's popping up are the speakers from conferences, not the members of the Flat Earth Society. Keep a watch, because it's gonna transform, and it already has begun.
Well, the real question here, Robbie, is when this was all over with, how many hours of sleep did you knock out?
I actually knocked out, and I'm not joking. People are going to think this is insane. They're going to be like, are you okay? But I actually slept for over 26 hours straight.
Wow. It's like over a full rotation of the earth there,
folks. I was going to say, Robbie sounds a little down today. He's been operating on probably no sleep again, so he's speaking slowly with low energy today.
As I get older, I can't really do all-nighters, but I was just full on adrenaline. I've been known to actually stay up, two, three nights, no problem, even for a good series back in my past. But for this, when I know that it's history in the making, the world is changing, who has time for sleep?
No, I knew you
didn't.
There's
no time zones on flat Earth.
There you go. Nice, nice. I'm going to lead with that next time. They're like, dude, do you ever sleep? There's no time zones on flat Earth.
There's no time zones. Yeah, exactly.
There's no day and night. There's no day and night.
Yeah.
Well, I just got to say, on behalf of all of us who are into flat Earth and on behalf of the ones who will be into flat Earth in the years to come, everyone owes you a great, huge pat on the back and a thanks for doing this, man, because it's unprecedented and it's awesome.
Well, and the support from like the community and even the presenters that came, from day one, they have been awesome. They have bent over backwards. How can I help? Can I assist? And they came to the bat even at the conference. You had Bob, Cammy, you had David Weiss was sitting in there in registration. He was there and it was awesome to see this because again, people were pitching in because they knew that things were happening. So I'm just saying, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the community. I'm also very thankful for the great presenters and speakers because again, they can see the big picture and they've been supportive from day one. So
what was really, what was actually one of my favorite parts is Paige and I worked in registration and we got to meet every single person. we could look at their name. We could look at their face. We put it all together.
You were a machine though. You were a machine. Paige originally started working with my wife and my wife, I want to say a huge thank you. My wife from day one has been so incredibly supportive. She understood the cost. She understood the fact that this is going to be a sacrifice on the family. And she has been amazing in helping me, put everything together. I couldn't have done the conference without her. Me and her, strategizing, planning, making sure that it was the best that we could possibly put together. So a huge, thanks. But also when she started, when Paige started helping my wife, because she was, kind of overwhelmed at the rush that was taking place, and Paige was helping out. Well, then all of a sudden I went in to check on things, and I remember checking with a guy, Matthew Long, that I couldn't have put in charge of security in other areas. And he's like, it's okay. David's got it under control. And David's like, next, next, next. He's like a robot in there. He was just going to town. He's like, get out of here. Don't need you here. He's like kicking me out of registration. So I'm like, great. Bye. See ya. But anyways, big thanks. Thanks so much, David. And thank you so much to Paige for all her help too.
Yeah, it was a team effort. Good times.
Well, effectively, guys, this discussion has made me depressed once again about not going.
tell me you're going to come in Denver. Tell me that you're actually going to book now.
Yeah, he told us he was coming last year and he didn't come, so you can't
trust
anything.
No, we want a commitment. We want a commitment on air. We got to get at least a 90% sure a commitment here.
Well, 90%, I can give you that. And that's pretty much what I was given for 2017 because my job that I work currently, it's like almost like being on call. You know what I mean? It's like... Mm-hmm. It's not a deal where you ask off certain days or that sort of thing. So it was like really right up to the last second. I think it was like Monday or Tuesday prior that I finally got the schedule that covered Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I was like so crushed. Man, I was just, it really took my steam out. But, I'm actually going to, if I'm working for the same company doing the same thing next year at this time, I might actually step up and, have a family event to attend or something,
It'll be great. The day that actually do get to meet at some point at the conference, it'll be amazing.
If it's not Denver, family.
If it's not right, Denver, right. It'll be 2019. At some point, I'm sure that we'll meet in our journey.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's funny. It's like, you guys were talking about, Globusters. The guy's never been around. Same thing with Dave and I. It's like, yeah, we chat all the time, but no, we've never got to sit and have a coffee or anything like that, or Robbie or Jaron and some of the guys I talk to frequently. So, that was the main thing that I was looking forward to, and I'm so bummed that I missed out on.
Well, we definitely, obviously you got to at least participate and get the experience. I wanted to, even with the live stream, production-wise, I wanted to give people a good experience, right? So again, it was like multicam and, I had a good production team in place. And next year, I'm looking at even doing some more creative things with production. So hopefully the people that can't come out, make sure you sign up for the live stream. It's going to be fun. I got a lot of surprises planned. And hopefully that will be the next best thing and you'll feel part of it. and hopefully we can actually include more things to make you feel more involved and closer to the community if you can't get out. But we'd love to see you there.
Awesome.
All right, Robbie, thanks for coming on, and thanks for putting the conference on, and thanks for all of the great work you put out there. It's making a difference.
No, well, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
And anytime you got anything to spread to the community, please, you're always welcome right back here on the Flat Earth Podcast, Robbie.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.